94.5 The Zone, 8:17 here in the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Big week in the Music City. May not ever see anything like what's going to happen here later on in the week with the NFL draft in town. And Coach Dave McGinnis is with us from Titans Radio. The binder has arrived that has all the info. Coach Mack is brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. We're going through every single page of that book in the next 45 minutes.
Every single page of that book. Okay. Morning, guys.
What's happening, Coach Mack? How are you?
Hey, Blaine and I, that thing Thursday for the leukemia lymphoma that Jonathan Hutton had at the Bell Tower, that was such a great event.
Oh, that was awesome.
You know, they brought everybody together. And Amy Adams Strunk was just awesome, you know, with John McClain and seeing all the former players that were there and all the current players. And just, I mean, what a great evening. I mean, that's how Nashville comes together for good causes. In Nashville, about 300,000 of our closest friends are getting ready to come together here starting Thursday.
It was a great event. I was down
Wasn't
there,
it?
Too.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Wasn't it great?
It was terrific. She's really impressive and just a really great representative of that organization.
I had foundations before when I was a head coach, and any of those events, you want the vibe to feel good so that everybody feels like they're involved. And didn't you get the feeling that everybody was involved? And that was really good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, they had people there and everything. No. But Coach, man, what did you learn about Amy that you had no idea of? Or what do you surprised at, something she said?
You know what? I mean, I've been around her quite a bit, you know, when I came here, you know, and she's talked to me a lot. The thing I think that disarms people a lot when they first meet her is how genuine she is.
Mm-hmm.
She is just genuine, down to earth, good people, and there's 32 owners, and that's a pretty elite group, but she is so down to earth and she is so solid and she's so approachable. And I think that came through a lot.
Oh.
In that evening. I think that's the one thing that I can't, that the people that were, you know, I sat at a table just like you did with other people, and they're going, wow, she is really just a real person. And plus, she doesn't hold, you can tell that she really cares about the people. And when you're up there in that building, I mean, you can feel that too. And you know, being a former player, she's got a real feeling for the former player. She's got a deep feeling for the history of that club. And she treats her employees tremendously. But, I mean, how open she is what really people appreciate. And you can tell, too, and all of us can. I mean, and our listeners, too. You can tell when you meet somebody that has a higher profile, if they're being genuine when they're talking to you, if they're actually interested in talking to you, or if they're looking past you. Mm-hmm. She's great. She is the best. Look, that's exactly the kind of owner you want.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I guess I want to add to that is one of the things is when I was there, you know, and I said this on air on Friday, was that her not even expecting at the time when she was growing up, they were talking about that age,
yes,
you know, where she was growing up, maybe, you know, early, you know, 20s or so. You know, she hadn't even expected because her dad, you know, late Mr. Adams, hadn't even viewed the girls as even owners of the actual organization at the time, because he said that was his thought process. So they didn't even think that.
No, and absolutely right. And the thing that I admire about her, Blaine, is when she came into the owner's club and was, you know, and was the controlling owner, she sat back and learned and listened. And she said it herself. You know, when I first went to the owner's meetings, you know, I sat and looked and listened. And now you can see she's got a pretty prominent role. I mean, she and Virginia McCaskey, you know, Martha Ford, Kim Pagula, I mean, Miss Benson down there in New Orleans. You've got some female owners now that have, but Amy Adams Strunk is becoming a pretty good force in this league in the ownership committees, and that's important. I've been to those owners meetings as a head coach, and you can definitely tell who the people are that step out front, and you can see now that she's got a lot of respect in this league, which I admire.
All right, got to ask you this going into draft week.
All right,
because I think a lot of people are curious about this. What goes on in the war room through the course of the draft?
All right, look, first of all, it's not like the floor of the stock market. I mean, there's not people throwing pieces of paper and jumping around and yelling and cussing and sticking their
trading places.
Yeah, I want this guy.
Yeah, not at all. That's not what it is, okay? What it is prior to your pick, depending on where your pick is, you know, the Titans pick is at 19. You've got some calls. Most people are on the phone. The guys that you've designated as your phone people, you know, that was one of my jobs for 30 years is to chum the water with the phone for all of my contacts in the league to see just kind of what everybody was thinking, what was going on around the league. But as your pick, as it starts to get close to your pick, there's only a few voices that are allowed to talk. Okay. And then and most of the time, it's the GM and it's the head coach. Everybody else, cool your jets. Get quiet. You don't need any chaos. And you start that about four or five picks before your pick. And when that starts, what you do is you start looking at where people have been taken, and then you start to assemble your bullpen. Your bullpen is you take picks from each different position, and you start to put them up on the board saying, this is the group that we have graded horizontally throughout the vertical rankings of the positions. This is the group that we feel like fit here. Here's what we've talked about for the months leading up to this, that if this person is here, now, if both of these are here, who do we like? We want this person and this position more than this person or this position. And then you start the discussion. If you want to pull out a report and read one or two reports again to narrow it down to the finer points, you've already got it all in your head, but then you just want some reconfirmation of what's going on. But that is very ordered. Once it gets to within 10 minutes of your pick, then there's only two people in the room that are talking at all.
Drafts are made or broken sometimes because of decisions between two players, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, and especially early, the earlier in the draft that you are, you've got a lot of players available to you. And it's the first round, you're going to have a lot of players available to you. As you get down into the later rounds, your numbers in your bullpen start to shrink. All right. And then you start to pull, might say, okay, we're in the fifth round. We've got a sixth or bottom of the sixth or top of the seventh round grade on this guy. Let's pull him into the bullpen because maybe some of these others are gone. And so, but early in the draft, you have, and then so, but you've had these discussions before. That's what they've done for the last 2 weeks, is had these discussions when you get on. And then finally, you pull the name off the board and say, before you make the pick, this is our pick. Everybody in with it. Everybody good. Then you call your person that's going to be down there in the skimmer horn and say, turn so-and-so in. Turn Blaine Bishop in, first round, Tennessee Sweet. Titans.
Boy. First round.
Oh, I would have been just on cloud nine.
That would never happen with a third-round grade, man.
Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants, said you can't draft primarily for need because you fall into traps. What's your philosophy about drafting for need, and has it changed over the years?
Well, look, the biggest draft mistake I ever made as a head coach, when I had the trigger, was we needed a defensive lineman, and that was the draft of John Henderson, Dwight Freeney, Albert Haynesworth. All right, we had Albert Haynesworth off of our board. Our medical people took Albert off our board because he had a stinger, in college. And so that's who Joe Green and I wanted. I mean, we were picking at 12. And that's exactly who we wanted. Well, we couldn't take him. So then we're looking at John Henderson and we're looking at Dwight Freeney. All right. Well, guess who goes about two picks before we draft? John Henderson, Dwight Freeney. So now we're sitting there with a guy we need a defensive lineman. Either we're playing a 4-3, so we need either a tackle, a 3 technique, or an end. And I really needed a left end because I already had Simeon Rice. Okay, so now you're sitting there looking at it. The next guy was a guy that was a 2-time Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year, a guy named Wendell Bryant out of Wisconsin. Okay, good ability, good player. I mean, but I'm looking, and so you're thinking, do we just jump? Because Ed Reed's sitting right down there, okay? We got Ed Reed sitting down there. But made the mistake of reaching for a position rather than a player, and Wendell Bryant was a bust. I mean, he was a bust. It wasn't playing ability. He had other issues that, again, was our fault for not vetting him deep enough in that. But that I was burned doing that and was burned bad, and I've never done that since.
You need to blame the medical staff for, you know, that on Ainsworth, you know.
Well, I couldn't control the medical people. And when I was, you know, when I was there,
you should have told them you had a doctorate in football and this guy could play football.
Yeah, I got a medical degree right here with this tuba for. I'm getting ready to hit you in the head. The issue on that was, I mean, it was, but anyway, those, I mean, but that was my fault because I didn't have to do it. I did that. It was wrong.
Coach Jay McGinnis from Titans Radio is our guest, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. We're talking NFL Draft, which, of course, kicks off on Thursday. We'll have all kinds of coverage all week right here on The Zone. We're coming right back. This is the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. If you're looking for a way to put a little play in your day, play Lotto America. It's the $1 game with jackpots rich enough to make you rich enough. Drawings every Wednesday and Saturday. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play today. Win that. The boys will be back in town looking for some dough. We're visiting with Coach Dave McGinnis. He is brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. If you need great health care coverage at an affordable price, let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Coach Mack has us covered on the NFL draft.
Yeah, no doubt.
Guys, I love starting the week off with you guys in here. This is a big week. This is a big week now, so here we are.
All right. Before we go to draft, I don't think we got a chance. I think did the Titans schedule come out after we have Mac on? It was on Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, what did you think about the schedule, the actual, you know, Titans schedule?
I think the sandwich game with Houston's ridiculous at the end of the year.
That is dumb. Why would they do that?
Wait, they said they have an algorithm that went through 80,000 times.
Some of those, yeah.
Yeah. They need to stick a screwdriver in that machine. You know, that's to me, as a coach, I mean, look, yeah. The schedule's the schedule. You got to play it, okay? Yeah. But just when you look at it, that doesn't make any sense to me, to have that sandwich game with a division opponent, you know, at the end of the season. I don't understand that. The rest of it is fine. Now, from a coaching aspect, anytime you look at it, you look at and see the 11th week is the open date. Mm-hmm. That's what you look at as a coach. I mean, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Guys, the worst – how about this? How about Coach Mack sitting here telling you? Now, you know, I've been through a lot of it in 30-plus years in this league. When I was a head coach, how about when the schedule came out one year and I looked at it and the open date for Coach Mack and his Arizona Cardinals was guess what? The opening week of the season.
Oh, that's, I didn't even know they could do that.
No, I didn't either. And I promise you, I called the league office and I went, "What the what? I mean, what is this? I mean, how about that? Think of that a minute."
Well, you were well rested then for your opener.
I have never complained about another open date since then because I figured, look. The only worst would be to have it at the, and you can't have it the 15th week, but the opening week of the season. So I'll never complain about an open date.
And then you get 16 straight games after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at that, started adding up, and I went,
you're in a marathon right there.
Serve your energy, guys.
I went, okay, this is going to be fun. And so, but the open date, the 11th week, that's fine, you know, whenever that is. And you never can tell when you are going to need it. But, you know, it's right in there at that point. The rest of the schedule is the schedule. Well,
what do you think about four of the first six are on the road?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I didn't like that because if you start off on a slow mark, man, you're already kind of losing your fan base a little bit.
Here's the thing, though. But if you've got four of the first six on the road, well, then you've got a pretty good stretch at home later
at
on.
At the end.
Yeah, at the end. And opening at Cleveland, you know, Cleveland's the hot team right now. You know, everybody's talking about it. The atmosphere is going to be great. Yeah. I think with a new team and with a lot of new people in there, that's when you want to play them because they may not have all their juju put together yet. Yeah. You know,
new coach and
the whole thing.
Yeah, OBJ.
Yeah, and so that doesn't bother me either. I mean, and at the end of it all, guys, you're going to have to play the schedule. Mm-hmm. All right, but the biggest thing that I looked at when I looked at it, I went, You're seriously going to put a sandwich game. You know, I think we sandwiched a couple of years ago, didn't we, with Indy? You know, but it was earlier in the year. But a sandwich game with a division opponent at the end of the year, that's strange to me.
Mm. All right, on a draft question for me, I have three defensive ends that are available at 19. Let me know who you would take. And that would be your guy, Burns, of course, the Farrell, a kid from Clemson.
Okay.
And then the Michigan kid, Winovich or whatever.
Winovich.
And then the TCU, LJ Collier.
Okay, I think Collier's a second-round pick.
Second-round pick, okay.
I think Collier's a second-round pick. I think Winovich is right on the cusp, okay, of that. All right. I like Brian Burns, okay? Burns. I like Burns because of speed on the edge. Now, the Ferrell kid, I like him a lot, too. So, either one of those, I'm going to be fine with whoever they pick because, look, right. They know much more about it than I do. All I've done is watch tape. They've vetted these and lived with them, and they know them. But to me, Burns or Ferrell, if that's the choice, either one of those two. Winovich would be next, and then the Collier kid, I think, is the least.
Take us through the conversation before I pass over to Mark. Okay, naturally you had the Dodd flop from Clemson.
Right.
All right, then now Ferrell is one of the kids who was suspended because of something was in his power shakes or whatever it was.
No, and that was
Clemson
That was Dexter Lawrence.
Oh, it was Dexter Lawrence.
That
okay.
was Dexter Lawrence.
So how do you take that into the, I guess, equation then about the Dodd, where he flopped on you and I know he's only a 1 year starter. But 1 year starters at Alabama too. So I'm just wondering what the conversations are like in the meeting or in the draft room.
And you're talking about just comparing he and Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Ferrell is to me, first of all, you cannot prejudice your picks by university.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. Everybody's an individual. If you've made a decision that didn't work, just like I started this whole thing off this morning saying I made a bad pick 1 year for a defensive lineman. Really, at the end of the day, you know whose fault that was? That was my fault. That was my fault. There was something that I did not do in the vetting process that I did not do. And so the first thing that I did is go back and find out what I missed, how I missed it, and put that in my memory bank that I'm not going to do that again. Now I'm not going to be in that position again to have these factors have me go over the top and make that decision. So, all right, that's to me, because you can't get prejudiced against individuals just because they are from the same place. And the other thing is, and the next thing you'll probably bring up, and it's legit, is, well, who did I talk to there? Who did I trust there? Who was I listening to? At the end of it all, that's me. That's on me, okay, to know in the vetting process, which hallways I can go down and get something that
so
I...
So you're not trusting that coach again?
That I need. Not necessarily.
If the coach is the one who told you.
If it's the coach that told me, I might come to him and say, what the hell?
No, you would have said what the what.
I would say what the what, But that, to me, that's on me, all right? That's on me. And so I think anybody... And John Robinson said as much. When he let Dodd go, he said, I've got to do a better job.
Right.
I've got to do a better job of vetting the guy. And that's the same thing I did.
Well, I mean, you miss on one out of all the picks you've had. I think you're doing pretty good.
No, I missed on more than one.
That's the only one I can ever remember you missed on.
No. That was a first round pick, though, and that was, that wasn't real cool, Coach Mike.
8:42 the time. We always enjoy visiting with Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio. Is brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Let's send it over to Mark to tell us about Mortgage Investors Group, if you don't mind.
Yeah, exactly, Kev. And you know what? Zero down VA loans for veterans and military members can help you achieve the American dream of buying a home. Make it a reality. Contact Mortgage Investors Group to get qualified. In fact, VA loans offer low competitive interest rates, no down payment, and no private mortgage insurance. Start thinking about owning a home today. Mortgage Investors Group can help you get started. In fact, whether you're buying your first home or your fifth, Mortgage Investors Group can help you fulfill your home buying goals. They've been in business for over 29 years. They're the number one lender in the state of Tennessee. So let them put that experience to work for you. And as a first-time home buyer, applying for your first home loan can seem like a daunting task. But don't worry. Mortgage Investors Group will be with you every step of the way. Let their experts help you get started on the path to home ownership. In fact, 100% financing is possible to take you from renting to owning. So call our friends at Mortgage Investors Group to see if you qualify, or go to MIGonline.com for the office nearest you. Equal housing lender, license number 109111.
The Zone, 8:48 the time. This is the Wake Up Zone.
powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We have Coach Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio in the house, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. Got you covered. So what do you think, Kyler Murray first Arizona?
Hey, look, that's the pivot point for this
draft.
We're
hearing otherwise now. I don't know if it's just draft talk.
But the number one pick is the pivot point for the whole draft.
That's the pivot point, and the quarterback is the pivot point.
Wow.
You know, at some time, because of this, think about this, you know, what happens. If he's taken like everybody thinks he's, no, not everybody, they originally thought he's going to be taken because of this. You fired a defensive coach after 1 year, all right? Steve Wilks, they pull the plug on Steve Wilks after 1 year, which I don't agree with at all. All right, but that franchise did it. Then you hire a coach with that air raid offense at Texas Tech that was fired at Texas Tech, that worked for a month at SC, but his bailiwick, I mean, his strength is the air raid offense. You've got one of the best air raid offense quarterbacks in college football sitting right there. Do you fire a defensive coach after 1 year, which is not fair at all, but they did it, hire a college coach that runs that specific offense, and then have that type of quarterback sitting there? And, you know, Josh Rosen, I don't know what he is, and I don't think they know what he is either, because the group that he played with clearly wasn't real good. The other thing that to me, and I'm very dialed into that valley out there, because I spent a lot of time there, you know, a lot, had a home there for a long time. Here's the thing. The professional sports franchise landscape in the Valley right now, it's really low. The Suns aren't good. The Coyotes, you know, are not good. The Diamondbacks aren't good. That stadium, they're having trouble now selling tickets in that stadium because they've been so bad. What moves the needle? Does the best defensive player in the draft move the needle? Or Does this quarterback, who everybody in the world has talked about right now, and a young offensive head coach move the needle? Okay,
oh yeah, so, that's a no brainer there.
So
Mark,
all of that stuff you've got to take into account. Now, here's my other thought on this. Because of the size of the scope of just what this whole draft thing has been, and we're here, we see it being built down there. I wouldn't be surprised if the league hasn't said to them, if you're going to make a trade, don't do it till the end. Don't do it till the end. Keep the mystery.
Yeah, the suspense. Yeah,
keep the suspense. Mm-hmm. Keep the suspense of it up, because look, and what I have heard in all the phone calls I've had and all the calls that have come into me is that they, you know, when they shop Rosen, they're not quite getting what they think they could get. Mm. Okay, but still, when you look at it. All right, and you take a lot of those things into consideration, and it all goes back to the genesis of you fire a defensive coach that's a good football coach. I know Steve is a good football coach. After one season, I mean, and then you're going to hire an offensive coach, and then you're going to draft a defensive guy, number one. Think about it.
Doesn't make a whole ton of sense, does it?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona did that, though.
Well, that right there, what you say, yeah, has got a lot of truth to it, yeah, because, you know, there's a reason that, you know, they've had issues, okay? But when you start to look at it and you look and see what's going on, if they don't, let's say they don't, then what's going to happen is you got San Francisco at number two. They don't need a quarterback, all right? You got the Jets at three. They don't need a quarterback. Then if people really love Murray, they will start moving up, and then all of a sudden you're going to start that, you know, that 52 pickup, throw the cards up in the air, because then here we go.
John Robinson, I think, even acknowledged that this team needs a little more of an edge. You know, we talked about drafting the Wolves, you know, guys like that. Explain that a little bit, Dave. You know, just not being afraid to bring some guys – you know, who might not always have the greatest personalities into a room because he trusts the culture of this team.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not, when he talks about that, he's talking about guys that have an edge to him, but he's not talking about bringing thugs in here.
Yeah.
You know, he's not doing that. I mean, he's just talking about
bringing bad character guys.
No, he's just talking about guys that love ball, yeah, that when you step across the line on Sunday, I've lived with those guys for 30 years. I mean, one of the best human beings. I mean, we're sitting across from one. When on game day, I mean, don't be around him. You know, on Thursday on, during the week, don't be around him. Mike Singletary is the best human being in the world. I was scared to death of him on game day. Okay, but that's what you're talking about, guys. Yeah. The guys that it means everything to, that's all, you know. It's about getting ready, and it's about guys that are going to be all bought in. You know, it's important to find guys that understand how to get to Sunday and how to get to Sunday from Tuesday to Sunday. That's the guys you want on your team. I think that's what he's talking about.
Man, and when I'm looking at the draft, man, and everybody's come out with these mock drafts, and we're looking at everybody's talking about playmakers for Marcus and the Titans and everything else, man. They got so many receivers here, but I was looking at most drafts, mock drafts, and they were saying that the Harry kid from Arizona State, the Hollywood from Oklahoma who just visited the Titans, Metcalf from Ole Miss, naturally the freaking nature runner and built, and then the Butler guy from Iowa State. I'm sure there's some other receivers. But out of the bunch, what would be your analysis of that first round and second round maybe of a receiver and what this draft looks like with receivers in it, actually?
Blaine, I think from the second round on, you're going to have a run of receivers. Okay. Because you've got a pot of guys that are pretty much bunched in there together. And you see what you have right now, and you can see it in college, it's filtering up to the National Football League. A lot of those guys that you just mentioned – you know, let's talk about a Kelvin Harmon or a Hakeem Butler, N'Keal Harry. Those are big, long combat catcher dudes. Those are big power forward receivers that are probably not going to be, you know, as you talk about nifty, get away from you, but they're guys that you can throw it up to and, you know, that can 50, combat 50 catch, yeah, at the high point. But there's a nice group of them in that second and third round. Now, you know, and plus, you know, you got Paris Campbell from Ohio State. You got the McLaren kid that's the Indianapolis Cathedral guy, you know, from Ohio State that can run. You got Emmanuel Hall that can run.
Oh, from here.
Yeah, absolutely. So the second and the third round, you can help your football team with receivers in this draft, in my opinion.
Mm. What's the week going to be like for you?
Well, I mean, I've got things every day and every night this week. You know, I'm at, you know, with season ticket holders, you know, with suite holders, with, you know, just talking ball. I mean, Tuesday night, Greg Cosell and I are doing something for Jonathan Hutton for the LLS. You know, they sold out a thing down at the Greenbrier Winery that we're doing. We've got about 20 guys that we've developed tape over, and I'm going to go through a bunch of Coach Mack stuff on a whiteboard for him and show him going into the draft. You know, people are saying he's a great three technique. Here's what a three technique is. Mm. I'm going to be doing some Coach Mack stuff that night. You know,
I may learn some stuff. I may go back.
You already know all of it.
Nah. I always can learn more. Man. I want to know more.
It'll be fun.
We always love our Coach Mack stuff we have every Monday. Thanks, Coach.
Guys, thank you. See ya.
Appreciate it.
It's Coach Dave McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Farm Bureau Health Plans will coach you through it. They've got you covered.